Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a daily show, yes daily, covering the NBA champion Cavaliers and the NBA at large. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, or Google Play. If you'd like to submit questions, inquire about an ad, or just say hi, email the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And if you're a fan of the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes, as it helps other people find the podcast. Now, here's today's show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning. I'm an editor at Fear the Sword and a staff writer at Hardwood Paroxysm. So today is going to be another solo podcast, and it's going to be a re-up looking at Kyrie Irving and USA basketball. The Americans obviously just finished up group play on Sunday by beating France. They're undefeated in the tournament. They're atop of Group A, and they are the top seed headed into the knockout stage of the Olympic tournament. Now, on paper, that's great. On paper, the United States is exactly where we'd expect them to be, exactly where you'd think they would be, and there's no reason to think that they shouldn't be gold medal favorites still. And that's true. The U.S. fundamentally is the gold medal favorite. There's teams that have given them run, and there are teams that have really pushed them, like Serbia, like France. But there is reason to be a little bit concerned about this United States team. They haven't looked great in the last two games. They've played very close against teams that they probably should beat. I mean, look at the France game, for example. They won that game largely because Klay Thompson went really off in the second half, finally found his three-point stroke, finally got going from behind the arc, and really just looked like Klay Thompson. He played like Klay Thompson. They won that game by three. Yes, the French hit a three near the end of the game that only brought the game within three, so it's kind of a six-point win. There's a little caveat in there, but that's not ideal. If the United States, you should be beating France for more than that. They didn't have their best player, or arguably their best player, in Tony Parker. So they have Batum, they have Gobert, they have some other guys that are pretty good. But they didn't have Tony Parker. They didn't play all of their best guys. They didn't go out with their necessarily A squad. So that's not ideal for the United States. Right now, it's not where you'd expect the United States to be. It's not where you'd expect the United States to be way out in front of other teams, to be clearly dominating this tournament. And there are a number of reasons for this. For one, this is not necessarily the perfect U.S. roster. Now, there are a lot of great players. Every player in this team, even Harrison Barnes, who gets a lot of crap, even DeMar DeRozan, who takes a lot of crap and criticism, some of which are fair, are necessarily your A-list players, or your A-list star players, rather. Durant is, Carmelo is, Kyrie, I would argue, is there. But you have a lot of guys who necessarily aren't in the top 20 in the league. You have guys that are sort of flawed players. You have a lot of flawed players. DeMar DeRozan, for example, cannot shoot threes, and that really, really matters on a team that needs guards who can shoot threes. You have DeMarcus Cousins, who I love, but he's really struggled this tournament on defense, and he's never proven at a very, very high level to just be elite all the time. And he hasn't exactly been perfect at center. Draymond's role as a defender and this all-versatile guy has been kind of negated in this tournament because they need a guy who's big and a guy who can body people, and he hasn't done that. He was great against France, don't get it wrong, but he hasn't been great over this tournament. His defense in exhibitions and through this point in the tournament hasn't been Draymond Green level defense. Harrison Barnes, as much as I think he has a chance to really break out in Dallas, and he takes a lot of criticism that maybe he doesn't deserve, it's telling that he isn't playing when the U.S. needs a wing to go out there and do some things. That's not ideal. So you have this roster that doesn't have LeBron, it doesn't have Curry, it doesn't have Chris Paul, doesn't have Russell Westbrook, it doesn't have Blake Griffin. You have a lot of really good Americans that aren't playing, and I think that's sort of part of this. You don't have a guy like LeBron who's going to just be overwhelmingly great. KD, who really, really struggled against France, probably should be that guy, and he can be that guy. In my opinion, he's the second best player in the world, but he hasn't been that. That's sort of concerning too. That all plays into this. Now, as the U.S. goes into the next round, they're, again, going to be the favorite. There is no reason, as a fan of USA basketball, that you should think that they're going to lose, or that you should expect them to lose. Spain could give them a really tough game. If they see France again, the French could give them a tough game. That is totally possible. They could be upset. And if they do lose, this isn't going to be like 2004, where it's going to be this big referendum of basketball, or the 2002 World Championships, for that matter, where they didn't send even really, really star players. Like, there are star players on this team, or they just didn't care, or whatever. This team would just be, they're not playing at their best, they're not just peaking, they're not really playing together, and that matters. So it's not going to be like 04, so the 2020 Olympics will not be the redeem team part 2. That's not going to be a thing. But, so right now they'd be playing Croatia. Winnable game. Croatia's got a lot of young guys, but they're feisty. They've done pretty well in this tournament. Spain's another option. We don't really know until later today, on Monday, who the U.S. is going to play. We won't know if it's going to be Croatia or Spain or somebody else from Group B, the fourth place team in Group B, and that'll matter some. But if the U.S. is going to lose, I think it'll be later. It'll be once they get into the semifinals or the finals, then they get relegated into another bracket if they do lose. To look a little bit at why they're struggling, we'll take a look at their defense. The offense, for the most part, has been pretty good. The Americans have a lot of really, really great offensive players. They're having a lot of success with interior ball movement and setting up guys like Boogie for dunks. KD's getting his shots off. Carmelo against France was a very, very good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter from the corner and in other spots on the floor. DeRozan's actually getting some shots. DeRozan's doing some things. And Klay, obviously, as I mentioned, had a really, really good game. So they're getting some offense. The problem is really defense. Now, Kyrie Irving, obviously, is a guy who's going to take some flack in this department. And, you know, deservedly so. We're not going to totally cave for Kyrie here. For his career, he has not been a plus defender. That is just a fact. Some of it, flatly, is effort. There are times where Kyrie does not try to fight over screens, where he does not chase his guy out to the three-point line, and does not try to functionally be an in-your-face, at least active defender. That's sort of an issue, just on its own. A lot of defense, as much as it is scheme, as it is style, it is just athletic ability, and it is just the will to be a defender. It is a lot of just getting in the right stance, working around screens, and putting an effort on that end to make a difference playing defense. In this tournament, I think you're seeing Kyrie not always put in the most effort. He's getting beat off the dribble by guys like Nando DeColo, which, that happens, you know, that's going to happen from time to time. Everyone gets beat. But he's just getting beat in ways you wouldn't want him to. He's not getting beat in a sense where DeColo, and this isn't taking away anything from DeColo, who's had a very good Olympics. And is a solid EuroLeague player in Russia, but Kyrie is not chasing him around screens when he was driving on Sunday. He was not trying to stay in his way and stop him. That matters. And compounding the problem is that a lot of time Kyrie's playing with DeMarcus Cousins. I am a huge Boogie fan. I think he's a star. I think if and when he moves on from Sacramento, he's going to make another team very, very happy because I think he just needs a better environment. At the same time, he's getting cooked in pick-and-roll defense. When teams are going against him and Kyrie, it is basically a free path to the basket. They are not having much success containing guys in any way in the pick-and-roll, and then when it happens, they're getting right to the rim. They are getting right to the basket and just getting clean looks time and time again. That is, at a very basic level of basketball, a fundamental problem. At the end of the day, there are a lot of tricky sets. There are a lot of very manipulative sets, but a lot of sets really just come down to setting a pick and roll, or running a pick and roll, and then attacking the rim and trying to get a clean look at the rim for 2 points. And when teams are playing Kyrie and Boogie, there are just little things that happen that hurts. I mean, behind Kyrie Irving, in an ideal situation, regardless if he's playing with Team USA or if he's playing with the Cavs, you want a center behind him who is mobile, can protect the rim, and can contain guards if they need to switch. This is why Timofey Mozgov, or part of the reason why Timofey Mozgov, when he was healthy in his first half season with the Cavs, was such a revelation, that he was so good and made the Cavs defense so much better. this past season, when he wasn't as great, this is why Tristan Thompson steps into that role and has more value, because he can step out on guards and defend them outside, and then when the shot clock winds down, it's not as big of a deal if Kyrie is guarding a big who is probably at that point out in the corner standing there doing nothing anyway. Having those guys around Kyrie really, really matters, and it also matters that the Cavs have LeBron to support Kyrie in that sense, because they can do some funky things where LeBron could step out and guard Steph Curry for a few possessions, or guard Russell Westbrook for a few possessions, or guard Chris Paul, and Kyrie can then go hide on a non-shooter or something. So playing the Warriors isn't the best example for that, but if Kyrie is playing if they're playing the Clippers, and let's say the Clippers last year, they had Luke Mbamute as a forward on their team, for stretches, you don't want to do this all the time because it will wear on LeBron in the regular season. But LeBron can defend Chris Paul or defend J.J. Redick. And then, you know, they can slide J.R. Smith or Iman Shumpert onto the point guard. And Kyrie can go hide on a guy who is only going to shoot if he absolutely has to because the shot clock's winding down. You can do that. In this stage, Team USA can't exactly do that. They can't do all of these things you need to do to support Kyrie. And yes, that's a referendum on Kyrie's defense, but he can improve it with some effort. He did in the playoffs, and I think you should go watch the tape on that. He is fighting through screens and being active, and he can do it. Doesn't do it all the time, which is, you know, a thing you have to kind of worry about with him. But it also isn't just Kyrie. If you look at USA's defense and how they've played, they are getting beat in just the very simple ways that you wouldn't expect them to. If you watch the game and then you watch Tom Thibodeau on the bench, he freaks out all the time because you're seeing guys like Kevin Durant, you're seeing guys like Paul George just get beat in sort of dumb ways. For example, against France, you saw guys cutting from the corner in towards the rim and Paul George just isn't paying attention. And then all the France has to do is throw a quick interior pass in there and they're getting 2 points. And they're just playing just more aware than the United States are. The United States hasn't played with a sense of urgency or a sense of just togetherness or awareness that you'd expect them to and sort of want them to. And that's problematic. A lot of the problems with Team USA, I think at the end of the day, doesn't necessarily come from that they're playing these really good international teams. That they're playing teams that are just capable of being them. That's not to take anything away from France or Spain or Serbia. Those are all really good teams. They are teams that in 4 years, I think, depending on who the United States sends, could maybe upset them even more. I mean, Serbia, they're a very young team. They have Nikola Jokic, who's a really good center. They have some other good young players who are going to develop. France, in 4 years, will have Batum. They'll probably have Evan Fournier, who just isn't on this team for really odd reasons. Rudy Gobert will be even better. And they maybe have some other guys. They had some guys in the draft that were pretty good that could maybe be on the team and make an impact. Those teams can't play with the USA. But at the end of the day, the United States has the biggest talent pool. They have the most guys that are amongst the best players in the world and playing in the NBA. And a lot of what you're seeing in the tournament, I really think this is just effort and awareness and just a willingness to play that hard all the time. And just kind of playing together as a team. You know what? That happens. You know, it's a long year for these guys. Kyrie Irving and, you know, Klay and Draymond all played into June. And this, you know, again, isn't missing all the best guys. But they're just missing some sort of motor, some sort of intangible that I think is just, they need to just be woken up a little bit. Maybe they had to have, maybe the tough games will do this. Paul George, I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but was talking about this after the game and he just seemed upset. So, you know, maybe that's it. And we will see. I still think they're going to win gold. I still think they'll probably rebound. And they had some moments against France where you had to feel better about their effort. It wasn't necessarily the best version of Team USA that we've seen. But it was close. They were a lot better. They were a lot more aware. And you'd have to be at least a little bit more optimistic about them coming out of the France game than you would have been if they would have been heading into the knockout stage after they played Serbia. And to look at Kyrie really quick, generally I actually really like how he's played. He's averaging 12.6 points a game, shooting 50% from the field in about 23.8 minutes a game. But he's also averaging 6 assists, and he tied an Olympic record, USA Olympic record on Sunday against France, where he dished out 12 assists in the game. 3 other players, including the GOAT, Michael Jordan, have done that, by the way, so he's in rare air there. But he's really filling a role in USA that I think is really good for him, and it's different for him. He's keeping the offensive flow by passing. He's keeping the offensive flow by being the distributor. That is not his best role, probably. He is best as a scorer because he's a ridiculous isolation player. He's a ridiculous creator, and he's just ridiculous at scoring when he wants to by himself. He's going to have games more often than not in his career where you're going to be amazed by his shooting and his ability to drop 45 points on a random Wednesday in January than you're going to have him dishing out 15 assists. But he is fully capable of doing that, and I think it's kind of cool to see him in that light. A lot of times with Team USA, you're going to have guys just kind of fill odd roles that they're not used to playing. That's why Carmelo Anthony is such a revelation, because he's doing things that within the context of the Knicks, he can't do because he's doesn't have to just handle so much of the burden. And he's willing to just do these different things, and it's a combination of things. With Team USA, it is not in the team's best interest for Kyrie Irving to go out and shoot 20 times a game and to play in isolation and do typical Kyrie Irving things. He's going to do them, and he's doing them well. And he's going to beat guys one-on-one because he is Kyrie Irving, and it'd be dumb not to have him do those things. But he's also going to step out there. He's going to engineer the offense as a passer, and it's going to help Team USA a lot when he does that. He's going to be the guy in a gold medal situation where they're playing, let's say, Spain, and it's close, and they need a guy to kind of dictate the offense. It's going to be Kyrie Irving in that situation because he has Coach K's trust, and he's been that role in this team to this point. So look for that, and you have to be, besides the defense, be pretty happy with how Kyrie has played. You worry about the defense, you just wanted him to put in the effort at least, and maybe they can pair him with DeAndre Jordan more. I would like to see more Draymond at center, but we'll have to see. The quick rundown of today's games: Nigeria, Brazil, Spain, Argentina, and Lithuania, Croatia. Later on today, you will see who the USA is going to play on the 17th, and so check out that on FruitTheSword.com. We'll have a news post up about that. And Team USA, again, is going to be favored in any of those matchups. They will be the team to beat for the gold medal. At the end of the day, this may just be a more uncomfortable path to that medal than we're used to, but that's okay. That happens. And sometimes it is just the process, to quote the great Sam Hinkie, about where things go and to how teams get there. It's not as easy to win gold medals when LeBron James and Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook and those guys are at home. And, you know, maybe this is a good thing for USA basketball, and I'm sure Kyrie Irving and the other guys on this team are probably going to learn something from this that matters, and that in itself maybe has some value to it. But I don't know. We'll have to find out when they get full media availability come October. So that's it for today's episode. Just as a programming note, I hope the audio quality sounds better for you guys out there. We have a new mic, have a sound filter and everything up, so it should sound a little bit cleaner. As always, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, you can find it. And please rate us and review us on iTunes if you like it, because it will help other people find the podcast. On Thursday, when the show comes back, we have an interview with Oakland University head coach Greg Campy. Now, if you're wondering why you're interviewing him, you're a Cavs podcast. Coach Campy was Kay Felder's coach in college, and Kay Felder obviously is the Cavs rookie drafted. And we have a chance, I had the chance, to talk to Coach Campy about Kay and about his path in the NBA and what he thinks Kay is going to be like in the NBA. So check that out on Thursday. So look for that on Thursday. I'm really excited about it. Coach Campy was gracious enough to take the time to talk to me for 15 minutes and answer my questions, and I think it turned out to be a really good episode. But that's it for today's episode. Again, follow the podcast on Twitter @LockedOnCavs. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, all those places, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.